All right, see him in the waiting room. We've made him wait too long. Let's bring him on. Let's talk Texas baseball with our favorite each and every Monday. We chop it up with the legendary lifetime Longhorn, Greg Swindell. Zeke, it's BK. It's Rodney Rodriguez. How are you, my friend?
What's up, fellas? Y'all doing good this morning?
Yeah, you know, we're a little disappointed with what went down in Knoxville over the weekend.
Two things before we start.
Yes.
AV Consultations is awesome. 8 years ago, we moved to Cyprus. Tom McKay and the boys hooked me up down in Cyprus. Came all the way down there, hooked up our surround sounds and speakers and everything, and did great with that. And a couple times came back for some adjustments. So, you know, they do a lot of pluckers. So they were down there working on the pluckers. And I told them to get the pluck over to my house. I need you, to hook me up. And also, it's too early in the morning to be hearing about Bucky's 85-incher.
Mm. You caught that, Greg? Yeah. Zeke, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, that was kind of almost just disconnected here. There for a minute.
An incredible feat of humanity to have something that size. Well,
I can imagine. I'm just upset. It's probably I haven't heard about this thing before now.
That's on the OnlyFans that the Buck has. Gardening and the 85-incher.
Yeah, dragging that thing around. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. How's that for some testimonials right there? Legendary lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell talking about AV Consultations. And then, the Buck 85-incher right there. That's what they could do for
Sounds like a ballpark favorite.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, man. Well, Zeke, not the best weekend Texas baseball has ever had. You know, their second SEC series loss of the year. They do respond and get the Sunday win to avoid the sweep yesterday, and there was a lot of good from the series finale. But I guess just kind of some overarching thoughts from the Longhorns dropping 2 of 3 to Tennessee this weekend.
Yeah, it looked like Tennessee on Friday had they had a good game plan against Dylan Volantis. They hit the ball better than any team has this season, laid off a lot of good pitches, and then hit some good pitches. So, if Dylan Volantis is going to go out there and only give up 3 runs in 6 innings, he's doing his job. And they just couldn't find anything offensively. Tegan Koons was, he had that place electric. He had me fired up. I was jumping up off my chair. I mean, not that I wanted to be a volunteer, but I'm just he had that game in command and control. And Texas really didn't have any chance on Friday. Saturday got sloppy. I always say it every week. I'm not going to tweet. But I'm like, we kind of forgot how to play baseball Saturday for a little bit. Missing cutoff man, throwing the ball away after strike 3, 2 runs scoring on bunts. But you look at the end of that game Saturday, they scored some runs, got some momentum going, and then that carried over. You didn't see, though, all year, really, scoring runs and then giving up runs early. That's what happened Saturday and Sunday. I'm like, all right, here we go again, especially after the 4 on Sunday. But the guys rallied. Casey Borba had a great weekend, and the two, Timo and Pac-Man, I mean, those guys had – weekends, really good weekends, kind of carried the team for the most part. So you did rally, come back with a win, and that's what you can ask for. And you look at the standings this morning, they're still tied for second. They can't win. Georgia already has won the regular season title. Number 6 in the nation, 4 overall in the RPI. So I think they're a clinch to host. Now it's a big weekend against Missouri. Are you a clinch to be a national host to stay within that top 8?
Yeah. Zeke, when you look at the team over the weekend, you kind of mentioned that right there. The one thing that I took out of that, I know you had changes in the rotation, you know, with Ruger and different things and so forth. But with some of the sloppiness and the errors, that was the one thing that I took out of the weekend. At this point of the season, as you get ready to head to the postseason, how concerning is that? That things may go off of the rails at different points. Baseball's a crazy game, but does that concern you with some of that sloppiness that we saw?
It does. I think I'm not sure how the turf is there in Knoxville, but the turf could have something to do. But you saw that they're going to do something to the dish coming up at the end of this season. So it doesn't concern me because most of the fields you play on nowadays are turf, and Texas is going to be playing a lot. I know the SEC tournament isn't on turf, but no, you had Mendoza go down, so you had to switch some fielders. Sometimes you don't get your ground balls at third. Borba has to go from first to third. I mean, it's some little things that happen. Not too much worried about it, especially when if you're swinging the bat and scoring runs, you don't worry about it. It's when you're not doing anything. That's one thing Texas has been really good at all season is fielding. And that's why I kind of tweeted that. I'm like, it just surprised me that it would show up at that moment. And then fortunately they were able to, like I said, rally back and play good baseball on Sunday and all the way around. They pitched good, they hit good and fielded good. So that was a plus coming out of the weekend.
For sure. Legendary lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell joining us here on Bucky and BK. I know Rodney referenced it a moment ago, but, you know, Ruger Riojas flip-flopping from Sunday to Saturday. Obviously, Luke Harrison, I think I said it wrong. Riojas going from Saturday to Sunday. Luke Harrison going from Sunday to Saturday. You know, Jim Schlossnagel didn't make it seem like it was injury-related. It sounds like Ruger Riojas was working with Max Wiener on a couple of things, and they wanted to give him an extra. Is that weird? Is it concerning? I mean, it's the second-to-last series of the regular season and you're making those kind of adjustments to your rotation. Is that nothing? Is that something? What's your take on that, Zeke?
I mean, it does have you scratching your head. I mean, if you throw a bullpen on Tuesday or Wednesday and you're starting Saturday, but you can't start Saturday, you go on Sunday. I mean, it does raise an eyebrow. I mean, is he okay? He was still throwing 96 miles an hour was Ruger. And, I think right now he's struggled a couple starts, struggling going five innings, only throwing 70 pitches. But to me, I think he's trying to do too many different things, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're trying to change this guy, 4 weeks ago he was talking about being, you know, top five round draft pick, and now you're changing mechanics and you're moving him back because he's sore. A lot of times it's just go back to what brought you. And just let Ruger be Ruger. He hasn't looked any different. I think the one thing I would go back and change with him, I'd tell him to get rid of that sidearm pitch that he's throwing. he threw it and gave up the grand slam or gave up a big hit with it on Sunday. He's just trying to do too many different things. Is Ruger, and then Luke. On Saturday, again, left too many pitches over the middle of the plate, and that's what's going to happen. You leave the ball over the plate, you're going to get hit. So, it wouldn't be surprising to me if Ruger came back on a short week this week against Missouri. Wouldn't be surprised if he came back early this week and pitched Thursday. Because now you know you got your bell cow, you got Valanthus on Fridays. Keep him in that rotation. Keep him on Friday. You don't want to mess with him anymore the rest of the year. So that's just my thinking going ahead. And fortunately, I just don't think Ruger, there's much wrong with him. He just needs to cut it from 8 or 9 pitches to only 4 pitches.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It works.
Yep.
Colin Dolar?
Greg, Greg, you mentioned about Ethan Mendoza going down. But a couple of dudes, I mean, Anthony Pack, you know, middle of the lineup right there just continues to be tremendous, especially as such a young dude like he is. Kind of talk about that consistency right there in the lineup and Adrian Rodriguez, kind of the process or the progress that we're seeing with that guy. I think getting him up to speed and kind of over things at this point, really pivotal. Kind of address those two dudes right now.
Yeah, Adrian, you still see him wincing though. You still see him every time he swings and misses. Yeah. When he swings and makes contact, it's nothing. But there's obviously something there when he's only hitting from one side of the plate, right? So he's not 100%, or they just like, you're not very good right-handed. You're only going to hit left-handed. And he's proven that right now. He's hitting left-handers as good as he was when he was batting right-handed. So, yeah, he's picked it up a little bit. The offense has picked it up around him, hitting the ball out of the park with power. I think the last couple of weeks he's hit his first 3. So that's good to see. And Pack, what more can you say? I didn't realize, but I looked at the batting average. He's at batting .351 now overall. Yeah. So really picking it up, and especially in what they call the grind of the SEC. I mean, he's almost leading the SEC in hitting and could be the – I mean, you're talking freshman of the year for sure. Him and Cozart right in there together. But he could be player of the year in the SEC. I mean, the kid can play, and he's played, he's batted down in the order. He's batted up in the order. He's batted clean up. So no spot in the order phases him. And he just goes up there and hits lefties, hits righties, and holding his own in the outfield. So, you know, defensively, he's going to be able to get a lot better. And I had a good friend, Luis Gonzalez, always say, you just got to drive in more than you let in. And that's the case out there. He hasn't really – defense hasn't affected the game outcome too much, but sometimes it's a little shaky to me. But you keep hitting the ball and getting on base and driving in runs, you're going to be good. But those two in that lineup are getting hot and need to stay hot now for, another month.
Yeah, Anthony Pack Jr. is ridiculous. I mean, he's making something that's not easy look very easy. Yeah. And, you know, freshman wall, I'm just waiting. Like, okay, when's this going to happen? When's it going to be too big for him? And he just continues every single weekend to go out and produce at a high level. And it seems to be healthy, Zeke. There is some concern, right, with the midweek on Tuesday and him basically missing the entire game. I know they brought him in late for defense, but, you know, Schloss talked about being scared to let him take an at-bat in that Tuesday game. Seems like Anthony Pack is just fine, which is obviously great news for Texas fans.
You're scared to let him have an at-bat, and then you give him an at-bat.
yeah, exactly. He's like, he talked me into it. It's like,
Which one is it? But obviously, over the weekend, you could tell he was fine. He can swing the bat. I had him. He was 5 for 12. Timo carried that offense this weekend. 8 for 11 was Timo this weekend. Had what, 5 RBIs in the one game, and between them, they have 27 stolen bases. So Texas is running the bases a lot more than they have in years past, and that's Schloss's MO. That's how he handles his players. So I'm excited. It's always exciting. The last three games of the year, you have to play well. I believe they're going to stay in the top 16, but you want to stay in the top 8. You want to have that regional, and knowing if you win that regional, you're going to have a super regional at home. Things didn't work out last year for them, but new year, new team. And I think they realize what happened last year is not – they don't want to repeat that this year.
Right. Well, kind of following up on that, Zeke, like, I don't know if I've ever seen a team – maybe this happens more than I realize, and I drink too much to have a good memory. I don't know. But, I mean, Texas –
Oh, you just wait.
It's going downhill from here. Yeah. Texas, they're 26-4 at home. Like, they look like a team that can win a national championship when they play at the Dish. And they're 8-8 on the road. They look like a tournament bubble team. I get it, like home field advantage, it's a real thing. It's always easier to play at home, and the turf makes a big difference, I think. But, like, it's so important to get to be a top 8 national seed to not play on the road. I feel like normally it is, but this year in particular, Zeke, because this team looks to be completely different when they're outside of Austin.
Well, that's what you're playing for. You're playing for top 8. I mean, yeah. You want that super regional. You're going to get a regional, but so now you're playing to be in the top 8 and get a chance to host a super if you win the regional. But the motto in the big leagues is you take care of business at home and play 500 on the road, and that's what they're doing. You wish you would play better on the road, because the next time after the SEC tournament, they play on the road, could be Omaha. So,
right.
If you take care of business, they're playing well at home. A lot of those haven't been easy. They've come from behind, and big time behind on a few of those. But it's home, and what else can you say? It's the Dish, and people in Austin, fans of Texas baseball, always show up in postseason. So you want that for them. You want that for yourself, and you want to redeem. You want to redeem yourself from last year. It couldn't have been a good taste, and you hope it's still in their mouth, and they want to get rid of it this year.
Zeke, in your opinion, how battle tested is this group for the postseason? Because you're coming out of an SEC that's going to send a lot of teams to the postseason, and you have to think that with that, I mean, not UCLA, I guess, is who folks are penciling in is probably the favorite at this point. But do you feel that this team, with the gauntlet that they've kind of run through right here, take care of Missouri, win another series, do you think that with this schedule, with this run, that they're capable and ready I know we got some questions on some errors in the rotation and so forth, but I mean, Cozart's been great. Do you think that they're ready to make that charge?
Yeah. I mean, what, last year they just ran through the SEC. Really didn't have a problem. And this year they've taken some cut to the chin. They've taken some blows. And I mean, it just, this weekend is evident of that. You haven't lost too many of only Valantis lost all year. They came back and got clubbed on Saturday and won the game Sunday. So could have given up very easily. I think they are ready. They've like, it's easy just to give up, but this team, I believe, had a wake-up call this year and know what it takes. You can see it. I think they're going to be fine. It is a little sketchy, like you said. Can you get your three top starters to go out there and do well each time? Cozart's going to be fine. Now the bullpen, who's going to show up? Who's going to show up? He had Burns show up and have a good inning. I like Cody Howard. I mean, even though the numbers weren't, he went three innings and only gave up two runs, but he finished the game on Friday, which saved arms for Saturday and Sunday. So yep. Little things like that can add up over a weekend and get Crossland back on track. I think he's had a few games now and has given up a few games lately. And for a young kid, can he overcome that? Because as you said, guys, the SEC tournament and postseason isn't going to be a cakewalk for anyone. So everybody's got to be 100% and healthy. The biggest thing is health right now for Texas baseball.
For sure. Legendary lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell joining us here. Last one for me, Zeke. Hayden Lefeu, I know you as a lefty. I know you're always paying attention to the lefties. I thought that was one of the most positive takeaways from this series at Tennessee. Three scoreless innings for Lefeu. I think he had five strikeouts. He's kind of working around a jam or two. But I liked what he saw. Big-time transfer that Texas got. Had some scuffles early on, but it feels like he's settled into a nice role, and it feels like he's a guy that Schloss and Max Wiener can trust down the stretch.
Yeah, he's got two tight, got a big curveball and more of a slider, and likes to throw it. Hardly ever. He got a couple looking strikeouts yesterday on just fastballs right down the middle because they're waiting for that breaking ball. Yep. And that's the key. If he can get the breaking ball over for a strike, it's also a swing and miss breaking ball. But I think as I saw on Twitter, Bubba, his nickname is Bubba. When he's being Bubba out there, you're in trouble because he just looks – I haven't talked to him. I've never met him, but he just looks like a big country Bubba when he's on the mound. So, and he struts it, and you need that. And yesterday was, three innings, one hit, five strikeouts. And the big key for all these guys, though, is walks. I mean, Ruger walked the two in the first inning and gave up a three-run homer. That's so in all the rotations. But Lefeu, you're going to have that big lefty who can give you multiple innings, and then Walker who came in and got the one out yesterday. So that's always huge for him. It's the bullpen setting up. I just keep looking at my notes here. And for Casey Borba, I'm going back on the hitting now. Yeah. For as much as he's struggled striking out lately, hit a couple over the weekend. Now he's tied for ninth all time with 31 career homers at Texas. Give it up for him just for riding the ship and being able to not think about too many of those strikeouts lately.
That's awesome.
Hey, Zeke, before I cut you loose, I do want to ask you. So we lost Bobby Cox over the weekend, the legendary manager there all the years with the Atlanta Braves. Any Bobby Cox stories or thoughts from you suitable for radio on what was Bobby Cox?
Well, he was a great manager, obviously. I mean, 14 straight division titles. As a retired player now, you wish he would win more because those teams were really good. But I played with some guys that played for the Braves, and I mean they would live and die for the man. I mean he was a player's manager. I'm still mad at him for not taking me to the All-Star game in '92. I was 9-2 with a low 2 ERA, but I get it. He took his pitcher John Smoltz to the All-Star game, and I resented it for a while, but I forgave him yesterday.
That's awesome.
After learning the news. But anyway, yeah, a great coach. Any coach that's going to get kicked out that much has his team's back, and he definitely had that. We lost a great one, and just seems a few of them are going lately. I mean, you just hate seeing those things. But a great baseball man, and I know every player that I played with who played in Atlanta really loved Bobby Cox.
John Smoltz was a nobody. That guy was a bum.
No, exactly. He was sub 500 at the time, BK.
Trash, man.
I'm 9-2 with a low 2, like a 2-1. Come on, I had my plane. I was ready to go. Didn't get the call.
You should have gotten that invite. And I could tell you, I'd rather have you in the booth than John Smoltz too. But maybe that's a conversation for another day. Zeke, you're the man. Always enjoy chopping it up. Next week, we better be talking about a series win next Monday. Otherwise, we're going to have some major, major questions.
If we're not, we might not be talking about a national seed.
No, I think you're right there. But as always, appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the week. And Bucky and I will chop it up with you next week.
All right, guys.
There he goes. Legendary lifetime Longhorn, Greg Swindell. Good stuff. Talking Texas baseball. Great question by you, RR, asking about Bobby Cox. Yeah, the legendary longtime manager of the Atlanta Braves lost his life over the weekend. And one of the larger than life personalities that the sport has ever seen.
You know, the thing about it was, because for a long time, you know, the Astros being in the NL, and that was during that run where it was always the Atlanta Braves. But I, for one thing, back in those days, it was the Atlanta Braves. You got to see a lot of the Atlanta Braves because they were on WTBS. You know, it was like all the time. If you had cable back in those days, you could probably watch the Braves every other day. But it was like, I never like had that disdain for the Atlanta Braves because they were like the Buffalo Bills. It was like you could bet that they were going to get to that certain point and then fall apart. But Bobby Cox, I mean, what a character. I saw, you know, all the videos and retrospects that have been happening the last couple of days where he throws the first pitch out at a Braves game and he walks over to the umpire. The umpire threw him out one more time. You know, it's like just what a character. And that's baseball. That's baseball. That's how people fall in love with baseball, because of guys like Bobby Cox. Great, great words there from Zeke talking about what was a legendary baseball guy, Bobby Cox.
No doubt about it. Hall of Famer. And was doing it for a long, long time. And just a lunatic in the dugout, but a guy who had his players' backs, and you could tell pretty much every single night. Real quick, because, you know, we kind of talked about it with Zeke, but we've had a few people ask today. Like the new D1 baseball rankings came out this morning. The Longhorns did drop a couple of spots to number 6. Again, the top 8 national seeds get to host through Omaha. So your goal is to be, now the rankings don't necessarily mean you're a top 8 national seed, but the hope is to be a top 8 national seed when the bracket comes out here in a couple of weeks. You know, we're being asked, okay, what does Texas need to do to ensure that they get one of those spots? I think the Longhorns are in a great situation right now. Their resume is very, very good. They've got the 4th best RPI in the country. They've got a ton of quality wins on their resume. They're tied for 2nd in the SEC, which is the best conference in college baseball. They had a few big non-conference wins as well. I think if Texas wins this series, they don't need to sweep. Obviously, you'd love to sweep. Mizzou's the worst team in the conference. You feel like you should sweep them. They've only won 6 games. They're 6-21 in league play right now. But I think if you just win 2 of 3, you're fine. The only way things get dicey, the only way Texas loses a top 8 national seed, is if they lose this series to Mizzou, and then I think lose in the first round of the SEC tournament. Like, even if they totally crap the bed this weekend and drop 2 of 3 to Mizzou, now we'll all be upset and we'll have a lot of questions. Like, if they go to Hoover and win a game or two, then I think that'll be fine. I think they've done enough to where they'll still be given a top 8 spot. So, really, barring a total collapse down the stretch for Texas, again, this last regular season series and then what happens in Hoover, as long as the Longhorns don't go like 1-3 or 0-4 in their next 4 games, I think they've done enough over the course of the year to where they're going to be able to host a regional and then, maybe more importantly, be able to host a super as well.
Yeah, you said the key word right there. You can't go in and poop to bed this weekend. I mean, this is a Missouri team that you should take care of. But I truly think that winning the series, even if one of those games is tight, even if one of those games that you win is tight, you're going to take care of business. Because that's the other thing that we've talked about. The body of work and the resume is there, you know, with the SEC. And like Zeke talked about right there, there have been some hiccups along the way, but still they've continued to stay on that path. But you can't go in and just collapse. You can't go Philadelphia 76ers this weekend against Missouri, because if you do, that's what's going to get you in trouble. But I don't think we talked about with the softball team, to where it's like you probably had to win a game. I do think you need to win the series. I don't think a game is enough against this opponent, against Missouri. Go win the series. Really doesn't matter how you win the series. Win the series, you're going to stay in the top eight.
Yeah, and again, this is a team you'd like to sweep. This is a team like you feel like you should be.
You should sweep. Yeah.
I don't think you need to, but look, you don't want to put anything in the committee's hands, right? We talked about that a bunch with football last year. Like, you want to leave no doubt. You want your resume to be so good that there is no argument against you getting able to or being able to host a regional and a super. So you take care of business against a bad Mizzou team that most people have been able to sweep this year in conference play, then we're not having any of those conversations whatsoever.
Well, and I think that's why the game yesterday, BK, was so big, the bounce back manner that it was.
Yeah,
and I think that's kind of just adding to that resume that I'm talking about, to where, you know, if you do kind of trip and fall a little bit this weekend, you can fall back on that, you know, to where it's like, and if you do trip and fall over the weekend, you need to bounce back like that. So it seems like a pretty easy concept, but like we say, baseball is just such a crazy game, but it's pretty, you control your own destiny. To use a football term, is kind of what you need to do right here. Just go take care of business. Slosh is going to have these guys ready. You just come out and take care of business. You're going to be fine.
I'm trying to find an updated bracketology on a Monday after what happened in the weekend, and I'm not having any luck right now. I mean, I saw, you know, there were a number of bracketologies last week that had Texas as the number three seed, even though they were ranked number four. They had the Longhorns as a three seed, so pretty safely in the top eight. I'm sure they've dropped a little bit, but again, if the season ended today, the Longhorns would be just fine. Barring a collapse, they are going to be just fine. And it's important. Again, it's important for every team, but this is a totally different ball club. It's pretty frustrating to watch how bad they are on the road. Pitchers aren't as good. They kick balls around. They're sloppy. They don't get enough offense. I mean, it's kind of been a theme all year long. Again, they're not the only team that's significantly better at home than they are on the road. But I like Georgia, who just won the SEC, they're 10-3 on the road this year. Like Texas A&M, who's now tied with Texas for second place in the SEC, they are 10-6 on the road this year. Like Auburn, who's ranked ahead of Texas in this week's poll. Texas did, funny enough, take 2 of 3 at Auburn. That's like the best road series the Longhorns have played this year. But they're, you know, 10-7 on the road. Florida's 11-5 on the road. Mississippi State is 9-5 on the road. Arkansas is 8-5 on the road. So, like, most of the other contending teams that you feel like are in the SEC have been better on the road than Texas has. And it's a little frustrating, and it's like kind of mind-boggling, because we know Schloss is a great coach and there's so much talent on this team. You wonder how they could be that good in one spot and how they could be just that pedestrian in other places. But who knows? Who knows? That's baseball at times. And Texas is 3-0 in neutral site games. Now, those three were like the second week of the season, so it's been a long time since they've played a true neutral site game. But the goal is, the game you played yesterday in Knoxville is the last true road game you have to play in 2026. If you just take care of a crappy Mizzou team, that will be the case. You will not have to play another true road game this year. And again, that's where Texas has had the majority of its struggles. So don't put yourself in a position where you have to do that anymore this year. And I think this team's got a legit shot.
Just don't go to the ballpark at Arlington, and it'll be fine.
Yeah,
it'll be fine. Yeah.
Places.
Yeah.
A lot of those big league ballparks have been houses of horrors for Texas. Not this year, thankfully. But you're right. That's been a struggle. So we'll take your thoughts. Good stuff with Greg Swindell right there. Good Texas baseball conversation. Again, disappointing weekend. The Longhorns dropping 2 of 3 to the fake UT. But like you said, it is important that they were able to avoid the sweep with that victory yesterday. And now, again, this is about as ideal of a situation as you could ask for in terms of a final opponent to tune yourself up for the postseason, the worst team in your home ballpark. Sucks that nobody else is beating Georgia right now, so you're not going to win the SEC. But, again, the bigger focus is getting a top eight national seed and playing your best baseball going into the postseason. Hopefully the Longhorns can do that. All right, we will take your thoughts. The Coda text line, 512-222-9328. We'll get to some Longhorn football conversation here in a moment. What's the toughest game on the Texas schedule outside of Ohio State? We'll debate that. We've got the BBK news and why today is not so bad to get to in a moment. But before we shift gears, a few more sponsor shout outs, starting with our friends at Qualis Roofing and Construction. If your home was hit by the crazy storms that we had overnight, reach out to our friends at Qualis Roofing and Construction. Look, you might not see any water leaking into your home, and you're like, well, I don't need to get my roof inspected, but you should get it inspected because storms, rain, high winds, you don't need hail to damage your roof. High winds can cause problems for your roof. And you might have something minor going on right now that would be a pretty cheap fix to get replaced. If you wait, you put it off, that minor problem can spread and become a major problem that turns into a whole roof replacement. That's expensive. That's thousands of dollars. You don't want to deal with that. And Qualis doesn't want you to deal with that. They will come out to your place absolutely free of charge to inspect your roof. They will assess any damage done by these recent storms. They will make sure everything's okay. If everything's okay, they're not going to lie to you and say, hey, you need your whole roof replaced. They'll say, hey, you're good. Call us if something else comes up. We'll see you down the road. If you're not, again, you call them, they can fix something quickly that will save you tons of money down the line, and it's totally free. Again, zero risk, and they are going to hook you up with a Texas Longhorns t-shirt from our friends at Sue Patrick just for getting your roof inspected. QualisGC.com. They're the best in the business. Tons of five-star reviews online. They do residential. They do commercial. They do everything. They've been around, and they are going to stay around. Qualis Roofing and Construction, or you can give them a call at 512-257-0033. Also, a shout-out to McCall Custom Homes, ATX. Mike McCall, double R, you know, fantastic guy. Absolutely. They do tremendous, tremendous work. And, you know, if you want to upgrade your home, kitchen, bathroom, outdoor space, you want to add on to your space, McCall Custom Homes, they're the people to call.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the other thing about Mike McCall. Quickly on Qualis, and here's the reason that you make that call and reach out to them, because yeah. I guarantee you it's happening right now with the hailstorm last night. The door knockers are out.
Oh, yeah.
And they will tell you need a roof replacement, even if you don't. And when they do a not so good job, they're gone. Fly by night. Boom. Fly by night. Watch the door knocking this week. But Mike McCall, a couple of weeks ago, had an AC, just quit cooling. Called him up. He said, call this guy. 2 hours later, that dude came. The house was cool. Man, McCall Custom Homes. The trades are unbelievable. The service, the work, everything that you get right there. 512-633-9580. Gallery of projects at McCallCustomHomesATX.com. These folks have been in the Austin area for 4 decades. Again, local. You notice the people that we talk about on this program, they're local because we mm-hmm. put their trust in them, and you can do that too. 512-633-9580. McCallCustomHomesATX.com. If you talk to Mike, ask him for some golfing advice as well, because he's pretty good at that as well. Whatever you're looking to do. If you need a new home, they'll take care of that for you also. But if you've got an older home, invest in that thing. Add value to it, because that's what McCall Custom Homes does. As they say, yeah. We add value to your home. Check them out today. It's Mike McCall and his crew.
Well done, sir. McCall Custom Homes. I think Mike will be playing in the Mullet Open coming up on Friday. And I think I'm on your team this week, Double R. Do you know this?
Or I was told that I was playing. I didn't know who I was playing with. Oh, man, they're in trouble now.
I think it's in trouble, you, now. Me, Wags, and one of Wags' Marine buddies. And, yeah, RIP to the golf course, and RIP to everybody else out there at Lost Pines Resort this weekend. The four of us together, that could be dangerous.
I have to tell you, so the weekend of the NASCAR race at Texas Motor Speedway, I played in the Speedway Children's Charities Golf Tournament happening out there at the Champion Circle in the fine in the ritzy part out there. Finished fifth in the tournament, shooting minus 12. I was the D golfer. We had a ringer. This dude rolls up. He's driving off the tee 300 yards. I made two putts. We used two of my putts. So, but yeah, we got a little trophy. I'm like, I mean, do I deserve this?
Hey, you when, know? When you are the D golfer, your goal is to have just one or two shots that you can use, right? You know, yes. You're not there to carry the team. You just want to make some sort of contribution, some sort of impact. And it sounds like you did that, sir. So well done by you.
Well, the other contribution that I made was anytime that the, especially for the scratch golfer, for the ringer that we had, it's like, need a beer? I got you. I got you. I got you.
That is so. That is the most important role on the entire
my part.
Team, I think. So way
did
to go by you, sir. I like that.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I'm having a much more difficult time than I would like finding the 2026 Texas football schedule here to screen share. Everything's got to be on Facebook. Here we go. We're killing time here. Shout out to McCall Custom Hubs. Okay, I want to ask you this question, Double R, and I might ask Bucky this later this week when he's back on the show. But what is the most difficult game on the Longhorns 2026 schedule outside of Ohio State? I think most people would argue the Buckeyes are the toughest team that Texas has to play. They've obviously been a thorn in the side for the Longhorns over the last couple of years. I think Ohio State's going to open up this year as the number one team in the country. If they're not preseason number one, they won't be outside of the top three. So that's an elite national championship contending caliber team coming to town. They've got some of the best players in college football on their roster. They really don't need an introduction. Everybody knows how good Ohio State is. So I feel like if you were to survey 100 Longhorn fans and just say, who's the toughest game on the schedule? The majority of them would pick Ohio State. So we're excluding the Buckeyes from this conversation. The other 11 regular season games that the Longhorns have, in your eyes, Double R, who is the toughest other game for Texas this fall?
Well, you know that the Buck is going to say game one. You know he's going to say Texas State. That's the one that he's worried about right there.
Yep.
Those Bobcats are going to come in, and you know, you start 0-1. That's Bucky's biggest fear. I'm going with LSU.
Okay.
And, you know, that may be, well, you know, Lane Kiffin, first year. Look, man, this dude's a master rebuilder. He's got a quarterback. I think this defense is going to be really good. I wish that the LSU game was a little bit more forward in the season. The fact that you're getting them that late, you know, the early stages of November, I think that's where you're going to have a team that is a little more acclimated with the new systems that are going to happen right there. And I'm just going on the body of work of, say what you want to say about Lane Kiffin, but what he did at Ole Miss and now in this transfer portal era where you can go in and Sam Leavitt coming in at quarterback, you're going to have a pretty good blueprint and framework built there in Baton Rouge. And man, and then on top of that, the atmosphere. I mean, that better be a night game, right? I mean, that is just going to be unbelievable. I don't know what LSU's record's going to be going into that. I think it's going to be pretty good. I think they're going to be a contention for the SEC. But, man, that LSU game, I'm not so much worried as I was last year about the Arkansas thing to where, you know, sneaking up and a sleeper and all that. I think Texas is ready to win those games. I don't question that so much. Now I just wonder about going against Kiffin and LSU. Man, that one scares me. That one scares me a lot.
That's fair. And I honestly think the majority of Longhorn fans would probably pick that game. I mean, LSU, they've got Lane Kiffin, who we all know is a really, really good college football coach. They added the number one transfer portal class this offseason. Not only the best portal class in this offseason, but the best portal class of all time. Now, they had to totally overhaul their roster because of the coaching change that they made. But this is not your typical rebuild. This was a reload in year one for Lane Kiffin. So the expectations in Baton Rouge are going to be high. And I'm with you. I think you bring up a great point. The fact that that game is in November, third to last game of the season, game 10, you'd rather play that one in week 4 or 5 than that late in the year. Maybe while LSU is still trying to figure it out and Lane Kiffin's still trying to establish something there. Late in the year, you feel like LSU's probably going to be playing their best football. That atmosphere is going to be absolutely insane, and that will not be an easy game to win. So I like that pick. You know, it's funny. If Texas hadn't kind of dominated A&M and Oklahoma the way that they have the last couple of years, probably make a case that one of those two is the toughest, right? Because I think OU and A&M are both going to start the year ranked ahead of LSU. I think Oklahoma, I'm a little lower on A&M this year because they've got a tougher schedule and I think they lost a lot and I'm not quite sure. But like, Oklahoma, I think, has a better chance to make the playoff than LSU does this year. I would say A&M maybe slightly does as well. And you obviously have one of those games in Dallas at a neutral site and one of them also on the road with A&M on Black Friday to end the season. But because, you know, Sark has had Mike Elko's number these last couple of years, and because Sark has had Brent Venables' numbers, I mean, in a big way, the last couple of years and three out of the last four, like I'm not as concerned about those two games as maybe I should be. Like I feel like the Longhorns have the edge in those matchups, which helps a lot. So I'm kind of with you on the LSU one. I'll throw Ole Miss a bone here. Thankfully, that game is at home. It's a very good Ole Miss team. I know they've got a new coach, but of course it's the same guy, Pete Golding, who was the interim dude who led them to the college football playoff semifinal last year. And it's not like Pete Golding has no idea what he's doing. He's been an SEC coordinator for a long time, so he kind of knows the lay of the land. Tobago Chambliss is one of the best quarterbacks in college football, and a dual threat like him can give any defense some sort of problem. So I'd maybe put Ole Miss in that conversation as well, but I think LSU's the right answer too. For a bunch of other teams, Double R, but I think you hit the nail on the head with going with the Bayou Bengals.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to step on you there, but the Ole Miss really is the one where I talk about, like last year when I talked about the sleeper game with Arkansas and the different things. Honestly, and it's weird to say this about a team that made a college football playoff last year as kind of being a sleeper that could sneak up on you at home, and that definitely is Ole Miss. I've seen some folks talk about Florida again, this isn't last year. I truly believe that when Florida comes to DKR this year, I think Texas just, I'm not going to say they're going to run them off the field, but I mean, you come in and that's where you use that as the motivation last year of what could have been and so forth and so on. And Florida to me is not anything that factors in right there, but it's LSU. The Ole Miss game does kind of linger right there, especially with Trinidad Chambliss coming back. I mean, you've got, and Pete Golding. Yeah. I know he's never been a head coach, but you know, he stepped in and guided a ship that was in a lot of turmoil. So the they're battle tested, if you want to call it that. So you can't discount them. They're not going to go away.
And that's the thing about Florida. It's like if Texas had beaten Florida last year, like they should have, like they were supposed to, then maybe that's one where you really circle on the calendar and you're like, okay, it's between Red River and Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. The Red River game needs no explanation. Ole Miss probably going to be a top 10 team coming to town on October 24th. It's like, that's your game against a first-year head coach, a team that went 4-8. Florida's talented. They're always talented. I mean, they're where Texas was under, you know, Charlie Strong and Tom Herman. They just need the right coach to maximize their talent. They always recruit well. They've got money. They spent a lot in the portal. They obviously kept a lot of their key guys from the last couple of years. If that was not a game that Texas had lost in 2025, I'd be like, watch out for that one. But the Gators are going to have the Longhorns' undivided attention. I know it's, again, coming off Red River, that's a physical game in Dallas every year. There's so much emotion that goes into that one. But because that's the one that kept Texas out of the playoff last year and the Longhorns got absolutely embarrassed, I think the Longhorns are going to be out for some revenge. And that's not a trap game situation that I think about. You know, maybe at Mizzou, if Mizzou's not so good, and thoughts and prayers with Ahmad Hardy. What a horrible story that came out overnight. Ahmad Hardy, who led the SEC in rushing last year at Mizzou, was shot at a concert in stable condition, but no idea what, you know, thankfully he's okay. No idea what it means for his football career this year, long-term, whatever. Awful, awful situation. But like that one being the week before LSU, it's one that scares me potentially a little bit. And then the Arkansas one between LSU and A&M, just Arkansas is so bad. I don't know if they're good enough to pose a real threat there. Those are kind of two more trap games that I look into. But, LSU, I think, is the one. There's not really any easy games in conference play. Mississippi State at home and Arkansas at home are probably the ones that you feel best about right now. But in this league, you take your foot off the gas against anybody and anything can happen.
I think one that's going to be pivotal to watch, and especially the way that the schedule lays out, is, I mean, if you kind of want to take this back to last year with the Florida game where, you know, you're back on your heels and you're asleep and you let the train pass you by, maybe you look at that Tennessee game. You've got the start of the season where you're at home. You're at home for three straight, and one of them being Ohio State. I mean, you come off of that, and then you're going to go on the road to Tennessee. I mean, that could be the one where you have your trousers down, and that could be the Florida game. But you don't want to let that happen because you learned that last year. You don't go into that game unprepared thinking you're just going to walk in and take care of business.
Excuse me, Double R. No, that's the exact same situation that Florida was, right? Conference opener, you know, on the road. Like, you know, obviously this year you hope Texas doesn't have a loss. They'd already used a mulligan with that week one loss to Ohio State last year. You hope they don't worry about that this year. But, yeah, I mean, that's the Checker-Neyland game. They've already announced it. That crowd's going to be absolutely insane. That's a Tennessee team that was in the playoff 2 years ago. Now, you know, we talked about LSU. It's like you wish you were playing them early. You're glad you're playing Tennessee early because they don't know who their quarterback's going to be, and they've got a lot of changes on their roster. It may benefit you to get to play them in September versus November. But, yeah, you can't just expect to waltz in really anywhere on the road in the SEC and win. I mean, Texas barely got by Kentucky and Mississippi State last year, who stunk. This year's Tennessee team is a lot better than those two squads. And, yeah, that's going to be a crazy, crazy atmosphere. So you've got to be buttoned up. And you really don't want to lose that game because you've got your bye after that before OU. That's 2 weeks to think about a loss, too. That is never a fun thing right there.
Well, and you talk about bye weeks and being on the road and so forth and that LSU game. I mean, for Texas in November, you better pack your turkey and dressing and everything with you because you're on the road most of November. Yeah. And that's where that LSU game falls in. So I think it's definitely LSU, the one that you have to, but nothing is a cakewalk.
Right.
That's the thing.
You asked this question on May 11th, right? Like the answer, LSU could suck. Maybe it is going to take Lane Kiffin some time. You know, by the time you get to November, we could be talking about an LSU team that's like, I don't know, what is that, game 10? So 5-4 on the year, or 6-3, where it's like, oh, no, they're not a playoff contender. Oh, no, they're not an SEC championship contender in year one. And, oh, they went out and got Sam Levitt. Guess what? Sam Levitt got hurt again. So it just didn't all come together the way that LSU hoped. Different conversation now than it obviously will be when we have that more information. But I'm with you, man. I think LSU on the road is the toughest non-Ohio State. Buckeyes are number one for me, even though that's at home. But LSU on the road, I think, is number two.
Or on the flip side, LSU may be 8-1 or 7-1 or whatever it is. So you just don't know. You just don't know. But, dude, that atmosphere is just going, oh, my goodness.
If you're a Texas fan who likes to travel, and I know we've got a bunch of great listeners who like to go to these road games, you've got some great trips to take this year. And LSU, Texas was supposed to play at LSU in 2020. Obviously, it would have been a non-conference game at the time. It was part of the home and home after 2019. COVID shut that down. So I know a lot of Longhorn fans have been chomping at the bit to get to Death Valley. Tennessee's another one of those games where it's like, dude, that's – I've heard from so many people, that's a place you need to go catch a game at some point. Obviously, the A&M game, you got to deal with the weirdos in College Station. But to be a part of the Lone Star Showdown, that's a much easier trip to make. But that's, you know, a potential fun one there, too. Mizzou, you could probably go without. But you've got some options if you want to plan a big road trip this year to watch the Longhorns play. That's a big part of the appeal of being in the SEC. It's like Manhattan, Kansas, Morgantown, West Virginia. Like, no thank you. Some of these spots that you get to go to in this league, hell of a lot more fun, and there's a couple of great chances this fall.
You can't go wrong with this SEC on locations and stuff. I was talking to a guy a while back, and I don't know how he didn't know this, but we were talking about Vanderbilt, and I said something about Nashville. He's like, what's Nashville have to do with it? I'm like, that's where it is. That's where that is.
Vandy plays sports?
Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought that was like in Wisconsin.
That's like, funny.
Come on,
that
man.
Is funny.
Yeah, that's obviously a sleep in world geography class, I guess.
Yeah. No one who goes to Vandy is asleep in that class. That's for sure. Hard for that. All right, we'll take your thoughts. The toughest game on the Longhorn schedule, not named Ohio State, or maybe you think some of the other games are more difficult than the Buckeyes in week two at home. Would love to get y'all's thoughts. All right, we'll get to the BBK news in a moment, plus why today is not so bad. But before we shift gears, a quick final round of sponsor shout-outs. Our guy, Dr. Chad, and his great team at Sleep Cycle Center. If you are a snorer or your partner is a snorer, go see our friend, Dr. Chad. Look, snoring, it's not just annoying to the person sleeping next to you. It can be the sign of a serious health problem. More than 22 million Americans have undiagnosed sleep apnea. And what is that? Well, it's no big deal. Undiagnosed sleep apnea can cost you your life. NFL Hall of Famer Reggie White lost his life in his sleep. Dr. Chad at Sleep Cycle Center lost his own father in his sleep because he didn't take care of his sleep apnea. That's why Dr. Chad is so passionate about fixing these sleeping problems so you don't have to go through something like he went through. State-of-the-art technology. It's not just CPAP. They've got mouth guards. They've got a couple of other things that they could do to make your snoring and all of your other sleeping issues go away forever. Plus, free consultations if you're a listener of this show. $100 off an at-home sleep study. You don't need to go to some crazy lab and spend the night there. No, they'll test your sleep in your own bed and you find out what's wrong and they will tell you how they can fix it. Sleepcyclecenters.com. Your sleep is like the most important thing you can do. Make sure it is being done the right way with Sleep Cycle Center. Sleepcyclecenters.com for more information and also some love to our guy, Matt King. We spoke to Matt on Friday's show, therideproject.com. He's getting going in just a couple of weeks, biking 2,000 miles across the country from Mexico to Canada, all to raise $1 million for communities all across the nation. And it's awesome. I mean, Matt King's a great guy, truly an inspiration. This is not a cyclist who's like, yeah, I go on 1,000-mile bike rides all the time. So this is a guy who's never done anything close to this. He's like, you know what? I'm going to be uncomfortable to make a difference in this world. I'm not just going to talk about being a good guy. I'm going to go be a good guy. I'm going to go make an impact. 2,000 miles over 13 days. And again, raising $1 million for folks who need it all over the U.S. of A. Therideproject.com to learn more and to donate. Go support our guy, Matt King, and this great mission. All right. Double R, the BBK.
Hey, can you imagine you and I? Can you imagine you and I doing that ride? Remember when we tried to do the walk?
Yep.
Yeah.
St. Jude walk.
St. Jude walk. Yeah.
Which was what, a 5K?
Yeah, 3.1 miles.
And we were like, we didn't run at all, for the record. We walked the entire way and we were both gassed by mile two.
Speak for yourself, youngin. I was gassed by quarter mile.
Yeah. Like looking around for mile markers, like we got to be at least halfway, right? And it's like, now you're half a mile in.
So, and the girl's gone. Your girl's gone. We're like, where'd she go?
Yeah.
She's like at the finish line.
Not waiting for you losers anymore. We were near the back of the pack on a walk. So you and me combined would not come close to being able to complete a 2,000-mile bike ride. One guy doing it. Very, very impressive. All right. The BBK news here to wrap up a Monday show. You know, we celebrate love on this show. And yesterday was Mother's Day. We celebrate the moms, the mothers of children, as Mike Gundy.
Mother of children.
Thank you, Coach. Now, we've talked about some interesting baby names over the years. Look, it's a big deal to welcome a child into this earth. It's an incredible moment to have a kid, especially when it's your first kid, right? That is something worth celebrating. So congratulations are in order to Charlotte Hornets guard LaMelo Ball. He and Anna Montana, no, not Hannah Montana, a.k.a. Miley Cyrus. You familiar with her work, sir?
Millie? Yes. I've seen her legs. Yes.
Yes.
She grew up well.
Hannah Montana. This is Anna Montana, who is the partner of LaMelo Ball. They welcomed their first child into the world over the weekend. And, well, the name of their son is La One. Like LaMelo is L-A, capital M-E-L-O. Their son is La One, L-A, capital O-N-E.
Come on, man.
That posted on Twitter yesterday, and I thought it was Centel. I thought it was a bit. I thought it was fake. Like, hey, someone's just – wouldn't it be hilarious if LaMelo named his kid La One? Like, let's just start that. No, that's a real thing. La One is the name of LaMelo Ball's first kid.
Man, I would, you know, it's one that people are so full of themselves, you know, when it comes to these type of things. And it's like a lot of names you said, this is just some dude that really, he loves him some him, as Terrell Owens once said. It's one of those things where it's like, you just, I mean, get past that. I mean, I'm more because, you know, when you name a kid, a lot of it's like, who's famous? You know, for a long time, all the kids were named Noah. And like right now, all the kids are named Sabrina. Hell, if I had a daughter now, for one, it'd be a miracle, but she'd probably be Sabrina, you know, because that's the way those goes. But these people that name the kids like that, of course, then there's other names where it's like, they must have been half crocked when they LaJuan.
Well, let me ask you this, because you talk about being full of yourself. There's an argument to be made that if you name your kid your own name, like Junior, the third, Junior, the fourth, whatever, like that is incredibly selfish. George Foreman, didn't he name all his kids George? I guess that's an extreme example because there's like a bunch of
all George, dozen
Georginas out there, and they all have the same name, which is literally the dumbest bit of all time. But what's more selfish? Law one, because Law is only half of LaMelo's name, so he didn't go LaMelo Junior, but he obviously kept part of his name. Is that more or less selfish than a LaMelo Ball Jr. would have been?
I would have definitely gone with the Junior. For one thing, I mean, I think it just, I don't know, I guess it kind of flows a little better, you know, a little mellow. I mean, I don't know, but the Junior thing's always been interesting to me, where I think if I had a son, I would have probably gone more with maybe my dad's name, maybe utilize my middle name, you know, or something like that. But it, I'm not a big fan of the Junior. I'll be real honest with you. I'm not a big fan of the Junior thing. So you could have been Mark Jr., Mark Kellner Jr.
Yep.
How would you feel if that was your name?
It wouldn't bother me at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love my dad. My dad's awesome. So being named after him would be cool. But I'm usually like anti the, if I ever have a son, he's not going to be Brad Jr. Like, I do think that's a little full of yourself. Now, look, if it started before you, then you're just kind of following a family tradition, then okay, so be it. Like, I respect that, honoring your lineage, honoring your heritage. But yeah, if you're the guy who's like, I'm going to start this, I'm going to be the one, I got to carry my legacy. Just having a kid isn't enough. My legacy needs to be felt with my first and last name after I go. So that's pretty selfish, in my opinion. You're entitled to do whatever you want, your kid, your child. But to me, that's a bad bit. But I'll tell you what, I sure as hell hope there's a LaTwo, LaThree, and LaFour coming here. Like, is that what you have to do right now? Because I know, again, you're talking about Junior, the third, the fourth. That's typically generationally. It's not siblings. But if your first kid's LaOne, the number one kid, are you going LaTwo, LaThree, LaFour, so on and so forth?
I think that's the path. I can't wait till there's a girl, because I know dudes that where you take a dude's name, you know, like Rodney, and then you have a daughter, Rodnita, or something like that. I mean, when you get a female in the mix, a young girl, that's like, how do you tweak that one around? And I would definitely not do that. I mean, just call it Betty. I mean, anything,
right?
You know.
Well, the girl is Anna Montana, A-N-A. What if they went Hannah Montana? Because it sounds similar to the mom, but it's not exactly the same. And no one else has ever had that name before, right? Hannah Montana, that's available.
Now, see, that's where this gets interesting, because this makes sense. How about Lana? That's not a bad name. Lana. That's
Montana.
But you know what? That makes too much sense. That doesn't pop. You know what I mean? Lana, just Lana. And there's lots of Lanas in the world too. Who wouldn't be, you know, LaOne?
Are there a lot of Lanas in the world?
Well, my age. Well, okay. Probably most are deceased now if they're my age, but I knew a lot of Lanas. You know what I mean?
LaOne. Well, I guess if they stay together, I don't think they're married. I think it's partner right now, LaMelo and Anna Montana. If they stay together, I don't know if she'd take his last name. So any, like Lana Montana, it'd be Lana Bull, perhaps, if she took his name. Maybe she does. I don't know. But LaOne Bull is the name. I feel bad for that kid already. You know, that's
yeah.
He's going to get bullied. Now, his dad's a great NBA player. He's going to be rich and well off, and hopefully the parents are good. But that's a tough one. The one bull right there.
That's just, you know, you're being put on a pedestal already. Low one.
Quick question. Did Diana Rossini get to celebrate Mother's Day yesterday? Was that celebrated in her house by her kids? Do we know?
Are those her kids? They're her kids. I definitely, maybe not her. Her
kids. That'd be a major twist if they're not her kids.
I would think that Miss Rossini probably, her kids are young, aren't they? They probably don't know, but I would hope that her husband didn't bring her breakfast in bed. I'm assuming she didn't get breakfast in bed, and she was out on her own. But you know, the other part of this is we don't know what kind of lives these people live. Hell, they may have all been celebrating Mother's Day together, the two couples. You just never know, man. People are, you never know what goes on. What did Charlie Rich sing in that country song, Behind Closed Doors? You never know what's going on. You know, See, that's a reference for the FM station right there, Behind Closed Doors. Yeah.
Well done there, sir.
I don't know.
Random question I had. And then last but not least, why today's not so bad. May 11th, National Eat What You Want Day. I feel like for you and me, that's kind of every day, double R. Good day to indulge for those of you on a diet. Also, National Foam Rolling Day. Not super exciting there. I don't have any hot takes with that. Some famous birthdays. Cam Newton, 37 years old. Unbelievably bad style. Great player.
Wonder what he's wearing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonder how he's dressed today.
Yep. I can't believe you didn't bring this up. And when I asked you to fill in for Bucky, I'm a little surprised you said yes, double R. Mm. Because today is the 27th birthday of Sabrina Carpenter.
How did I miss this? How did I miss this? I would have worn my shirt.
I was going to say, you have a Sabrina Carpenter shirt, right?
I have a shirt, I have a sweater, I have a cap, and I have some socks because I'm in the fan club of Sabrina Carpenter. My goodness.
You got socks?
I'm slacking. I got
they're
socks.
They're not like her, like she used them and like game-worn socks, you know? You're not one of those guys?
Hadn't gotten that lucky yet. I'm working on that.
Yeah, you got to go sit front row at a concert and see if she'll throw them out to you or something.
She's 27. Wow, another Disney kid that done good.
Yeah,
another Disney kid that done good.
And then born on this day, now dead. We'll end with this one: the great Jerry Stiller, Ben Stiller's dad, of course. Frank Costanza in Seinfeld, a star in that show, a star in King of Queens. Born on this day, passed away in 2020 at the age of 92.
Good classics. Good classics. Yeah. Funny dude.
Hilarious dude. Yep. Double R, you're the man. Thanks for filling in today, my friend. This was fun.
No, absolutely. Hey, speaking of funny dudes, Jerry Jones, did you see this morning? It'll be September 13th, the first game on Thursday Night Football, Cowboys at Giants.
Really?
Funny. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that'll be September 13th. Night Football, right?
Oh, not Sunday night. I'm sorry. Okay. Sunday night.
I was like, Thursday's always reserved for the defending champ, right? They always get the
Sunday night football. My bad.
Okay. All right. Well, should be a win. The Giants, they're on the come up a little bit, but I like opening up the year with the Giants versus a lot of other teams that you could have to play. So there you go. Yeah. Cowboys, Giants, Sunday night football in New York. Feels like every time those two teams play, it's on Sunday night football. So it's only fitting that it's going to be in week one. There you go. All right. Good stuff, my friend. Thanks to everybody for tuning in today. The Buck and I will be back tomorrow. Y'all have a great rest of your Monday. Happy belated Mother's Day to all of you moms out there. And thanks again for tuning in. We will talk to y'all tomorrow.
Welcome.
No crotch shot, unfortunately, for the people today. See y'all.